What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's another episode leading up into the NFL season, and that means we have another fantastic guest on Laying the Points with Farley Betts today. I will get to him in a second. His name is Jake Cirkus. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't. You should know him, and you will know more about him in the future. I guarantee you that. This is not going to be his last time on this podcast either. We'll introduce Jake here in 1 second. But let me take care of some business as usual. My name is Chris R. Farley, professional sports bettor now for 4 years and running. Former Circa fifth place winner, over 200 units won in the NBA and NFL over the past 4 seasons as well. And Laying the Points with Farley Betts has been a podcast running for 3 years. So we thank all of our loyal followers and listeners. At Farley Betts is where you can follow me at or on the Twitter. I always like stutter there for a second because it's like, is it X? Is it Twitter? Is it X? I don't want to call it X. It's annoying. I don't know. Anyway, so as far as the WNBA goes, let me update the audience about that, because if you've been paying attention to old Farley Betts, you've been seeing our WNBA bets and they have been white hot this season. Now, as of now, I don't think I'm going to have any more WNBA bets for the rest of the season, because when the league starts up again, it's going to be mid-August. Preseason football is going to be, you know, running, hot and running, which is, you know, preseason football. It is what it is, but I'm going to be solely focused on the NFL probably. Now, I might change my mind. You know, people freak out. Like these days, if you change your mind, everybody goes nuts. It's okay if people change their mind. But for now, what I'm planning is that no more WNBA picks as we lead into the NFL season. College football will be around the corner at that time as well. But I just have to tell you about our record this summer in the WNBA, because very proud of it. Just being very judicious with our picks that we've been giving out, all for free this summer, which I definitely appreciate all the followership and support as we've been given at those plays at sportswagers.ca and sportswagers.live. Please bookmark those sites and you can see our free picks every day. But we finished 35-17, that's 67% against the spread for 25.19 units this summer in the WNBA. So not unhappy about that, that's for sure. Now, WNBA, in my opinion, it's a smaller market. It's an exposable market. I highly recommend that everybody get into some WNBA action every summer until that changes. It's getting a little bit sharper, but especially the first half of the season, those lines, those totals, like things are very, I'm not going to say they're, you know, predictable. Nothing is easy about sports betting, but you'll find it more exposable, a market that you can beat more than, let's say, a market like the NFL, which is, of course, what we will talk about on today's podcast with Mr. Jake Cirkus. And with that, another great guest coming on to Laying the Points. So let's get to Jake right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce you to Jake Cirkus. He is a freelance content creator on the betting side of Bleacher Report. That's a pretty damn cool gig over there, Jake. He's been on this podcast before. He just graduated with a journalism degree from the University of Missouri, Mizzou. What's going on, Jake? It's great to have you back, my man.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. It's great to be on here because I actually get to talk to you in person about your sharpness when it comes to WNBA. Like, and you brought it up and I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Like he does like the WNBA stuff and like he's killing it on the WNBA.
I know. Like, I couldn't turn away from it, man. I mean, we just kept on making money, kept on winning bets. So why not? Right. And you know, maybe it becomes a harder sport to bet there in the future. Maybe I should just only bet the WNBA. I mean, that's a pretty successful rate, Jake.
I don't go into the sharp markets yet. I mean, why would you? Yeah, you have no need. Like you said, is it actually becoming a little more sharper though?
Already? I think the second half of the season it does. And, you know, as the season goes on, you can see some changes. And of course, there are more eyes on the league now with Caitlin Clark and everything. So I think it's getting there, but it's certainly not the NFL. I'll tell you what. When the WNBA creates a Circa Millions contest, then I will join that contest and maybe I will reconsider my focus on the NFL. But I think we're a ways away from that, Jake. Now, no offense to WNBA. Great. I've enjoyed betting it, enjoyed watching Caitlin, enjoyed watching the game. But it's time to talk NFL, my man. And for those who did not hear you on the podcast, you were on this podcast last year, I believe, or maybe a little bit longer ago than that. You know, you've been busy. I've been busy, Lord knows, with the baby and everything else. But it's great to have you back. For those who don't know you, Jay. Please tell our audience just kind of how you got into journalism, sports media, sports betting, where it all started for you and where you see yourself going now.
Yeah, so I've had my own podcast. You've been a guest on. I've done it for, oh my God, probably 5-6 years now. It's kind of went into some different it's gone through a lot of changes over the years, but now the Jake Circus podcast, it's gambling focused half the time and then NFL college football most of the time. And that's kind of how I got started in, you know, media content creation. I don't consider myself like a full-time content creator or anything like that. But the one thing I do all my picks on Twitter, gambling, everything on Twitter for college football, golf, NFL, some baseball, completely free. So I think that it's important with the type of exposure to have all picks out there for free, and you know, post my records when it comes to football and football and college football, because I think that matters a little bit more. I started with BR a year ago. I did their college football shows and then made some TikToks and some content for them. I've been gambling for, well, I'm only 22, so I'm not going to say how long I've done it for, but I've been gambling for a year. Let's just put it like that. But no, I got introduced to the facets of, you know, lines when I was super young. It's just how my dad is. So he showed me the ropes when I was really young. And when I got older, I started looking at lines more and kind of not like wagering, but I would be like, oh, like I like this, I like this. And I would kind of track my record, but like for fun. And then as I got older, I started gambling and started finding success. Went on a crazy run in 2021 and 2022. Did okay last year, still finished in the green, but nothing as like, this is what I tell my friends, Chris. I had a run from October to January in 2021/2022 in football in the NFL that I will like, I should have quit after that because I will never,
for college
for... I will never top it. Well, no, because I didn't increase my unit size until the year after. Like I wish I had increased the unit size during that run, but I think the run, and I'm rambling now, we can get into the teams in a sec, but I think the exact record, it was 96 and 52 over a 3-month span for college football. It was
ridiculous. Yeah.
Like it was like, I will never,
like a 65% or something like
I will never do anything like that in my entire life ever again.
And I mean, put it this way. If you have that record in a circuit contest, you're probably top 25. I mean,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That's the goal. Like I did some contests last year, some free contests, and just I kept going 2 and 3. So it was a little bit more of a struggle last year, but also like the way that I normally handicap for NFL, I do normally take a lot of underdogs, and I was just playing from behind the whole year because the underdogs the first 8-9 weeks of the season were historically bad. So I was just playing from behind. It was October, and I'm like, I haven't gone 4-1 yet. Like when's this good week coming? Went 5-0, I think week 13 or 14 finally. But it was more so a struggle because I think the market as a whole were so favored last year towards, you know, away favorites, touchdown favorites. There just wasn't a lot of, like, I call it the year of the chalk. To some degree it was last year.
It was. I do remember that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I kind of forgot about that. But you know, at Sports Wagers, we pride ourselves on just, you know, not only fading the market and fading overreactions, underreactions, that sort of thing, but value typically lies with the underdog, right? I mean, you can, you know, you have a popular favorite, even the sharps are jumping on favorites, you know, a lot of the time, or, you know, not all the time, but it happens. And last year, it seemed like even when the sharp community, right, like even when those of us who are traditionally looking for that value in the pooches, week after week after week, I think there was one week where like 13 favorites won. It was there was some insanity going on for sure. I would not expect that to happen again this season. If nothing else, the sports books are probably going to correct that. And I got to say, as I look through these schedules and as I analyze these teams, we started way earlier this really in the spring, you know, to start looking at the NFL calendar and the schedules and the games. I look at a lot of these games, Jake, and I'm like, this is a pretty even league, right? Like we, you know, no more Tom Brady, no Patriots. I know the Chiefs are the new Patriots per se, right? They're the new dominant team, but the AFC is just absolutely stacked, right? You got CJ Stroud and the Texans now, Joe Burrow's back with the Bengals. You still got the Bills. You got the Ravens. You got the AFC North. You got, I mean, it's there's a lot going on in the NFL, and I think we're going to see a lot closer games this year. So if the markets are not adjusting to that, then that's something for us to take advantage. But with that, that's a pretty good segue. We're going to play a little buy or sell with Jake today on the show as we look forward to this NFL season. And, you know, Jake, I couldn't help but think, too, as I heard you talking, there's a lot of these old heads, as you see, I'm sure, like on Twitter, who are just kind of talking down to people, you know, talking down to new bettors in the market. But, you know, a guy like you getting started as early as you did, right? Like, you have years of NFL handicapping experience behind you at this point, and you're what? You're 22.
Yeah.
Right. Watch out to these legendary handicappers who are talking down to people. Guys like you, 10, 20 years from now, if you keep it up, you stay consistent. You know, younger people who are involved in the sports betting industry now, because it's everywhere now, because it's not taboo anymore, just have a chance to do some incredible things in their life if they stay consistent, right? If they stay mindful. So I love having you on the show, Jake, because no offense to a lot of my other guests, but you know, you bring the fresh energy. You bring a different generation onto the show. We need that. Let's fucking go.
I love it.
Let's get started with a little buy or sell here. Let's get started with those Houston Texans. And I've talked about the Texans already by myself in this show. I brought it up in the last show with Gator Sports, Gator Betting. That guy is an absolute savage. Hopefully everybody listened to that podcast. But Jake, these Houston Texans are getting a lot of hype, and it's probably right? I mean, they brought over Joe Mixon, right? A veteran, tough guy running back. They got Stephon Diggs. Danielle Hunter and Danico Autry on defense added to the depth of their defensive line. Now Will Anderson could probably go nuts and really break out too, that young defensive end that they have over there for Houston. So, you know, it's easy to get really excited about these Houston Texans. Their win totals at 9.5. It's juiced to the over in a lot of sports books. What's your take on the Houston Texans this year? Are they worth the hype?
I think they're worth the hype because I do think that if everything goes right, when we can see them playing in the second to last weekend of the season in the AFC title game. But in terms of how we're looking at them and how we're looking to play them in the market, I think that like the standard thing to do is be like, okay, we can probably comfortably fade them. I look at the schedule and they have their jump. They played the 26th easiest or hardest schedule last year in terms of total efficiency of opponents. This year, it's projected, according to Warren Sharp, it's projected to be the hardest. This division is getting really, really good. I think the Colts are going to be one of the most improved teams in the league. I think that the Titans are going to be one of the most improved teams in the league. How many times are we going to be able to say that Trevor Lawrence had a down year? I expect him to be a lot better. I think the surroundings for this Texans team is going to make it really hard for them to have that normal seed, like, you know, second year quarterback jump where the team exceeds expectations. They've kind of gotten there early with all the expectations now going into the second year, because I think over the last few years people have realized, okay, if you have a rookie quarterback, the second year, that's the year where you're gonna pop. I feel like that's become now common knowledge where, yeah, it's gonna happen. I mean, CJ Stroud was fantastic last year. Like, I think that with this team, I mean, I played them to win the AFC before they got Diggs. So it's like, it's easy for me to say, oh, you know, play the Texans. I mean, I like them at 20-1. I don't know if I like them at 13-1 to win the AFC. So I do have them at a really good number to win this conference. So I think they can, absolutely. I look at the win total at 9.5, and, you know, it's right below that round number of 10. So people might think, okay, yeah, let's take the over. I think they're, you know, they can go 10-7. They went 9-8 last year, won the division. They're a sell for me because of the increase in schedule and the increase in division strength. But I think that if everything goes right, which it never does in the NFL, they are a team that they are a quote unquote Super Bowl contender, I would say. But I think we can sell them comfortably.
First of all, am I talking to Jake Circus or am I talking to Jimmy Vaccaro, Las Vegas Chris? You got 20-1 odds in the Texans. I love that future play, Jake. That's a great grab. That's a fantastic grab. you know, and obviously there was a lot of hype even just coming off last year because of CJ Stroud and everything he did. But then, right, just everything kind of elevating. I like what you said about the Colts, too. I think that's a really sharp point. I mean, don't sleep on the Colts, right? Anthony Richardson, even in one game, you could tell that, like, the kid had poise. Like all the athleticism in the world is there. He's like a Cam Newton sized guy, right? He's a big dude. And they still were competitive in that division all year. Shane Steichen is obviously, I think, a pretty damn good coach. He knows what he's doing. I think that's going to be a buttoned up operation. So the Colts, who are only +1.5 in week one against the Texans, very sneaky line there coming into week one. I think that's a pretty fucking sharp line too. Right, but then you also mentioned the Titans who were 4.5-point underdogs in week one against the Bears, by the way. You know, Tyler Boyd they brought over, Calvin Ridley they brought over to, you know, surround DeAndre Hopkins, right? So I mean, you know, I know the young quarterback there, what's his name? Levis,
yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, they he's a fighter and they got him more weapons and it's a total change, right? Because no more Derrick Henry, but Tony Pollard is there, right? He's a pretty good running back still, as far as I'm concerned. So and then we're not even talking about Jacksonville, right? Trevor Lawrence and those Jaguars were in the playoffs two seasons ago. And I know that they regressed, but yeah, I just see CJ Stroud everywhere, Jake. And I'm like, there's no way this can go quite as perfectly as everybody is expecting. But when you talk about grabbing the right value, 20-1 odds on the Houston Texans to win the AFC, that's an impressive bet, Jake. And that's just very cool to hear. Very cool to hear you talk about it in a way that, you know, like a 22-year-old, like you know, because you have to say it, like you're a young guy, but you already get it, you know, and there's a lot of people in the industry who do not get it. So,
yes, I tell people and, you know, a lot of my friends bet, but they don't handicap. You know, there's a difference between betting, gambling, and handicapping, especially in the NFL, which is such a sharp market. Like, if you don't have an edge, you're not going to win. I think that the one thing is that you either get it or you don't. And if you don't know what it is, then you probably don't get it. And that's the NFL. Like, I'm not saying I'm this all world like professional gambler or anything. But I do understand how the lines are made. I understand how they move. I understand how players are marketed and valued in the market. And that's really important. And one more thing on the 2 week 1 line that you just said, you just named two of my two favorite bets in week one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and you know, the Colts one is tricky, you know, like I could still see Houston beating it, obviously, but I mean, Houston's on the road, right? It's at Indy. And we saw that Anthony Richardson week one last year almost brought the Colts back against the Jaguars, almost won that game. You know, it's a lot of that is going to depend on his shoulder, right? And how ready it is for week one, but it's going to be fireworks, going to be get the popcorn ready from week one, right, Jake? But okay, let's move on to the Green Bay Packers, who second year now of Jordan Love at the helm. That's a proud point for me to make, because I was saying last season that, you know, preseason, that Jordan Love, I think, is going to be pretty damn good when everybody was trashing him. Turns out he's pretty damn good. You know, they brought over Josh Jacobs, a professional running back who wants a new start playing for a losing team with the Raiders. I think that's going to go pretty well for the Green Bay Packers. They brought over Xavier McKinney from my Giants, excellent safety. You know, their defensive talent is still there. Clearly, Jordan Love is a guy. He's got his young receivers building chemistry. So a lot of buy signs on the Packers, but obviously they're in a division with the Lions. Now the Bears got better, obviously, or at least we think that they're going to get better. What are your thoughts on the Packers heading into the season?
I think if you want to play, like, can we even say Jordan Love's a second-year quarterback? Like, he's still on a rookie deal, so I guess we can. But if you want to play a team with a cheap quarterback in a second year, I think the Packers are the team to do it. Every sign points to buy. I think that you can look away from the win total of 10.5 because that's really high. So I don't necessarily see value in that, but I think this team can win the Super Bowl. I don't think the Texans can. I think this is a Super Bowl team for me. And it's like crazy to say that in August or July, whatever month we're in. But you look at this, and the schedule is getting really hard for them. This is one of the harder schedules in the league. Or schedule jumps from last year. But they were so hurt last year. They were the 6th healthiest team in 2022 and the 29th healthiest team in the league last year. But like looking at this roster, there isn't a unit that you can look at and think, okay, that's going to be the weak point of the team. I mean, they get a great pass rush. They're deep everywhere. Like, I guess they lost David Bakhtiari, but they haven't played with Bakhtiari in 3-4 years. He misses 12 games every year. So you put Rashid Walker there full time. You have Zach Tom on the right side. This is one of the better offensive lines that no one talks about in the league. They were really, really good last year. Jordan Love has every piece to be spectacular in this league. And people get upset when, like, people give Jordan Love credit for completely turning that season around last year. And, you know, I obviously have to give LaFleur credit because there was a lot of stuff that was like with play calling last year that they changed on the fly in their bye week and came out as a completely different team, being more aggressive in first halves. But a lot of it was Jordan Love. I mean, a 22, 23-year-old doing that in his first year starting was unbelievable. They bring in Jeff Halfley from Boston College, who I think is a much better DC than he is a college head coach. I love this team, man. I really, really like this team. I'll be playing them in divisions. I'll be betting them pretty much every week until people realize that this is one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Giants fan, but I've loved watching the Detroit Lions and their like come up, you know. But it's such Lions luck to like now this is the best version of the Detroit Lions, and here come the Packers again. Like I agree with you, man. The Packers should be a team that other NFC teams are scared of. Look at the way Jordan Love went into Thanksgiving last year at Detroit and just tore up the Detroit Lions defense. I mean, that was so impressive too. I agree about all their upgrades. I think it's definitely a bold take that you're saying a Super Bowl team, but I love it, man. I mean, in the NFC especially, right? Like, are the Eagles going to kind of fall apart again? Can we even trust Dallas? The 49ers have a really tough schedule this year in a lot of different ways. Don't sleep on the Packers. I like it, Jake. I like it. Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Steelers for time's sake. Russell Wilson heading over there to Pittsburgh. You know, Russell Wilson has all the videos in the offseason of him working out. Russell Wilson putting in work. You know, part of me wants to believe it. You know, part of me wants to – because the Steelers figure out ways to win every single season, right? That's what Tomlin does. And you know, a lot of the parts are similar. Other than that, you know, they still have TJ Watt on the other side. This is still a formidable defense, obviously, with TJ Watt in there especially. But the Steelers are just sort of one of those teams right now, man. You're looking at that win total, it's at 8.5, right? And many, many people are going to bet the under on that one again and expect that Tomlin finally has a losing season. Do you think it's going to happen this year? Is this the first losing season for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers?
Yes, like I do. I don't like this team. The schedule is even worse. People are going to be
North is pretty tough. AFC North is pretty tough.
The AFC North is tough, but like I'll read this out. This is, first of all, they don't play a division game until week 11. Starting in week 11, here's their schedule until the end of the season. Home against Baltimore, in Cleveland, in Cincinnati, home against Baltimore. So they have four division games in a row. Then they go to Philly. Then they go to Baltimore. Then they host the Chiefs, and then they host the Bengals. So all six of their division games are at the last 7 weeks of the 8 weeks of the season. Their only two games that aren't in the division during that stretch is at Philly and home against the Chiefs. Like, if this team is not locked in come Halloween, they could win six games. Like, through that stretch. I mean, I hate forecasting wins this early in the year, but unless Russell Wilson goes back to being an MVP candidate, they're going to be an underdog in at least 7 of those 8 or 9 games. So now back to like the actual team, because the schedule is brutal. It's the hardest schedule in the league, not even close. Yes, Matt Canada is no longer there, but they brought in Arthur Smith, who's going to do basically be the puppet that Mike Tomlin wants. They're just running the ball when you shouldn't be running the ball. And they're like, this team pisses me off. Like, I'm a Bengals fan, so I naturally hate the Steelers. But I think the way they run their offense and how involved Mike Tomlin has been has just infuriated me, because everyone can see that Jalen Warren is more explosive than Najee Harris. And Mike Tomlin is the only one in the world that doesn't see it. So they just run Najee Harris way too much. I think losing Deontay Johnson is going to affect them. Like, do we just think Van Jefferson is going to just suddenly become a number two receiver? I don't. How good is Roman Wilson going to be when, you know, he's not in Michigan offense and he's, you know, So I just think that there's a lot of things that can go wrong with this Pittsburgh team. And then you add this end to their season schedule-wise. This would be the year for Mike Tomlin to go 7-10. And I think that's what's going to happen. So I'm selling them. I'm out on Russ. I don't think it's a great spot. I think it's a good franchise and organization for him, but I don't think it's a good spot for him schematically.
I really like that you mentioned the scheduling. I mean, that is how rare is that, right? You're not seeing a division
I've never seen it. One of my friends is like a schedule guru. He memorizes like every schedule. And I was like, have you ever seen not only a schedule this hard end of the year, but have you ever seen a team play four straight division games at the end of the season?
Yeah. And I mean, it just makes it even worse because if you go into week 11, you know, and obviously I'm sure that there's a bye week in between there, right? So
no, if you go bye week is week 9.
Well, that's what I mean, right? Like right before week 11, right? So if you go into week 11, even like 5-4, you're 5-4 against that division, against Joe Burrow at the end of the season. You know, Joe Burrow and the Bengals, as long as he's healthy, Lord knows, that's when they play their best football, right? The Baltimore Ravens, right? They were in the AFC title game last year. A lot of people think they got even better, which is crazy. Of course, they added Derrick Henry and everything, but they're always going to be a scary team. And then the Browns are still there. The Browns still have one of the best rosters in the NFL, if you ask me. So like that is some wild stuff. And I tend to agree. I mean, like all things end, right? Like I've been a supporter of the Steelers in this way, like looking for their underdog value in a lot of situations and betting on Mike Tomlin to get it done. This seems like the season where I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
That's so funny that you mentioned, because like I'm out here saying I'm going to fade them, but I know in that stretch, like I'll bet Mike Tomlin probably in all of those games. I just
exactly. Because it's going to be 7.5s. You know, there's going to be some big spreads in there, right? So I'm not saying I'm not going to bet on Mike Tomlin, but I don't think it turns into as many wins. Okay, let's go to the shit show that is the Dallas Cowboys. Always every single season, especially in the offseason. In my opinion, they did so little to improve. It's kind of wild that they have Zeke back at the running back position. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, I'm a fan of Zeke. You know, I'm fine with Zeke. I think he's a workhorse, but to get rid of him, then bring him back and get rid of Tony Pollard after all the focus on Pollard. You know, they got rid of Dan Quinn, obviously. Now Dan Quinn is in the division with the Washington Commanders as their head coach. I mean, they didn't get rid of Dan Quinn, right? But Dan Quinn was a sought-after coach. And now Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, right? Still in that like weird contract mode. What do you got with these Dallas Cowboys? Because you know what, Jake? This would be the year where everything seems like it's going off the rails and the Cowboys go to the Super Bowl. You know, like the Cowboys are just so fucking unpredictable for me. And you look at somebody like Dak Prescott, who was one of the top quarterbacks in the league by any standard, right? Statistically, QBR, everything in the regular season. And then what happens as always, right? In the playoffs, they shit the bed. Cowboys in the regular season, their win total is a 9.5, juice to the over at most books.
Came down
a little bit. I think it was higher. Also, what came down, I think you mentioned the Packers were at 10.5. I think that came down to 9.5, juice to the over as well. You know, 10 might be something I'm interested in the Packers, but not at that price. But what do you got on these Dallas Cowboys?
I think this team could be really bad in terms of like compared to what they're expected to be preseason, like with, you know, one of the higher win totals in the league. I don't think they're 5-12 bad. But I will be looked to fading them early in the season. They go on the road to Cleveland, play Baltimore, on the road in Pittsburgh against Detroit. They play San Francisco in the first half of the season. What made Dallas great last year, in my opinion, sorry, I got the dog barking in the background, but what made Dallas great last year, in my opinion, wasn't just the stars, it was their depth. They had their pass rush went six guys deep. They were able to overcome losing Trayvon Diggs early in the year. Now you lose three of your pass rushers in depth. Dorrance Armstrong's gone. Dante Fowler's gone. Jonathan Hankins is gone. Nabil Gallimore's gone. Your entire depth of your front seven is gone. You go from being one of the higher paid defensive lines to the fourth least expensive defensive line, which because when you have DeMarcus Lawrence on your team, he's making $25 million. That means you don't have any depth guys if you're not paying anybody else anything. So their starters are really good, but they don't have the ability. They're not going to have the ability to overcome an injury. The schedule's tough. Their offensive line is the worst it's been in, I kid you not, a decade plus. Tyron Smith is gone. Bidaz is gone. You replace him with a rookie in Guyton and then a new center who's not really any good. I didn't like what they did in the draft. I never like what the Cowboys do in the draft. Shit can go off the rails here with this team. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but I can tell you that I think they're going to get blown out in week one. I don't think they're going to beat Philly, San Francisco. It's just a lot to not like about this Dallas team.
Yeah. And one of my biggest question marks too, I love what you said about their defense and what they lost. Mike Zimmer coming over as their defensive coordinator. Now, Zim knows what he's doing. You know, he's been in the NFL for a long time, right? A very respected coach, but it's a huge personality change, right? Like you got a guy like Dan Quinn, who's very much like a player's coach. Like the players like him. They get along with him. Part of the reason why Mike Zimmer hasn't worked out as a head coach, I think, is because he's not a big like person guy. You know, he's not a big like socialite. And the Dallas Cowboys are used to that, right? They got Mike McCarthy. Everyone's kind of having fun until they're not having fun anymore. But it's the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, oh, everything's great. Mike Zimmer's a serious dude. And I think that might either work out very well for their defense, and he's going to have to. I mean, Mike Zimmer has turned around some under-talented players and made them into stars before. He's a good coach. But I just don't know how it's going to translate to the culture of the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe that's what they need. I don't know, but I could see that defense really regressing as the season goes on, as they miss some of the talent that they used to have as well, right? A lot more on Micah Parsons as well to get things done with DeMarcus Lawrence. I love a lot of stuff you said. Jake, you're flexing on the show a little bit with your football knowledge. I love it.
We didn't mention the turnovers. I mean, they've been double digits in turnover margin the last 3 years. That's like impossible to replicate for a fourth consecutive season. Like, and even if they regress to the mean there, that's probably an extra field goal per game of point differential. How many wins 100%. Is that?
Two? And so mistake prone in the games that matter. You know, yeah. Like when they played the 49ers, they just like did not do anything right. Now, somehow though, I kind of do feel bad for Dallas as far as that rivalry goes. They're at San Francisco again in the regular season. They're at San Francisco on Sunday Night Football again. Like, could we get the 49ers to go to Dallas? Let's just see. I don't know.
They went during a playoff game a couple years ago and won.
That's true.
Last play a game where Dak, Yeah.
No, oh yeah, he still screwed it up for sure. You know, but I mean, it's just like
I love Dak. I had MVP futures on him last year. I was pissed that he didn't win it.
There's a lot to like about Dak. It's just. Yeah, I just don't know what happens in the playoffs, and I'm not like blaming Dak solely, you know. But it's just tough. Like for me right now, he's the definition of like a regular season quarterback. You know that like the Dallas Cowboys are still going to blow out teams like 41-0 at certain points. You know, but then when those bigger games come around, man, like even if the 49ers are like 6-point favorites against Dallas, I might have to take them in the season, no matter what's going on. You know, it's just what happens in those games. I don't know. Let's do one more team for the sake of time here. And again, I said it on the podcast with Patrick Gates too. Farley Betts is very limited these days in an insane life. So it's more because of me that we're shutting this down short. But Jake Cirkus, another teaser, you will be joining us later this season for a little bit of a special podcast that we got brewing too. So I'm really looking forward to that, man. You're going to hear a lot more of Jake Cirkus. I'm sure you like what you're hearing so far. Let's talk about the Jets because they're all over the media. It's Aaron Rodgers. They finally, like, you know, hopefully he doesn't get injured in the first freaking game. But let's face it. I mean, the defense at all three levels of their defense is extremely talented. Their defense held them together last year. Still, if Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, can just do like a slightly above average job and keep the ship afloat, the Jets can definitely win games. But the Jets still sitting at where are these Jets? Their win totals 9.5, very juiced to the over still at most books. You know, books used to have them at 10.5. These odds are updated as of July 18th. So this is pretty recent, but you know, some people still picking the Jets to go to the Super Bowl. Jake, how serious are you taking these Jets and their capability this season?
We can never take the Jets seriously, but man, I keep like, as I'm doing, you know, all this kinds of prep for the NFL season. You know, I really like, I was on vacation during free agency. So like some of these guys that I realized are on these teams, like I didn't know until now, cause I just did not follow the draft. I did not follow free agency, and that was fine. Cause like, I knew I would, you know, do this in the, you know, midsummer and learn about all these teams. But like I'm doing this prep and I keep coming back to the Jets. Like I hate it. But this team, I think, can be really good. Like even if Rodgers isn't an MVP talent, that's what people don't understand. Is like, oh, they're so reliant on Rodgers. Like, no, they're not. How did they win 7 games last year? They had one of the harder schedules in the league. They were the worst offense in the league by in every important metric that matters. I think Robert Saleh is one of the worst in-game coaches in the league. The team likes him, I guess. I don't like him. I think he's terrible. But like, how did this team win 7 games last year? The schedule gets a little bit harder, a little bit easier, actually. I have him favored in 13 games this year. How could I not like this team? The defense, there's no regression looming for the defense. And that's crazy because they were a top 3 unit last year on all 3 levels, as you said. And there's just, I can't find anything that tells me that this unit's going to regress. And everything tells me that this is going to turn into at the very worst, a top half offense. I think they're going to win the division.
Yeah, like
every other team outside of New England who has a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, I think both the Dolphins and the Bills are going to regress into some standards. I think that this Jets team can win the AFC East.
Yeah, one of my stronger takes coming into the season is I think the Bills are going to regress too. I think their chance was last year, you know, and so many of those games were like, how did they lose week 1 against the Jets when Aaron Rodgers went down? They just had so many chances last year and, you know, lost some guys on defense. Josh Allen is more alone than ever, if you ask me, on this, as far as offense goes. So, yeah, man, I totally agree. The Jets, of course I have pause about the Jets because you have to have pause. Like, it's just tough to take them seriously. You know, Aaron Rodgers is kind of still doing his own thing. My big concern is still their offensive line. You know, there are some reasons to think that it's going to improve. They brought over a guy or two, but like, you know, if that offensive line does not hold up, it's not like Aaron Rodgers is, you know, 31 years old anymore. Like he's he's not in his prime. And hopefully he doesn't panic and get pissed and get, you know, kind of diva Aaron, like we've seen a few times. If the ship stays afloat and everybody's just kind of on the same page, there's some chemistry on the New York Jets. That's a scary team. If there's not, if things start to unfoil as the season goes on, like we see in so many seasons with the Jets, and I think it might be the same story. I'm really undecided about the Jets, but like you, right? I mean, you have them favored in 13 games. I can't say anything about that. I think it's a very like expected, you know, position to have with all the talent that they have in that team.
Yep, and I'll say one more thing about the offensive line. They were for a defense that was that good last year. They were -16 in sack margin, which is unacceptable. If you're sacking, you have 50 plus sacks as a team. You're allowing almost 70 sacks as an offense. The offensive line was not good, but no. You know, they didn't just bring in a guy or two. They brought in maybe the second best left tackle in the league in Tyron Smith.
Yep.
And I think Morgan Moses will be good on the right side of things, and then they bring in John Simpson from Vegas. So they have the pieces to become one of the better offensive lines in the league. Will they all gel instantly? Probably not. But by the end of the season, I think on paper, this could be one of the better O-lines. At the very least, one of the most improved offensive lines, which immediately makes this team better because it was just killing them in every single game last year, how much pressure they were allowing.
Yeah. Well, Tyron Smith is definitely the guy that stands out. I mean, if he can, you know, fortify that side of the line, especially with Breece Hall, right? Like, we're not even talking about Breece Hall. Yeah. I think Breece Hall has a chance to be the best running back in the NFL. I mean, his burst is absolutely insane. With that, Jake, I almost want to apologize because I have to wrap it up. I want to keep on talking shop here with you about the NFL. For our audience, Jake Circus sounds like he's 52 years old with 50 years of NFL betting experience. He's not, but that's the kind of experience and that's the kind of swagger that he brings to the show. Loved having you on, Jake. I have to ask you two things before we leave you here very quickly, maybe like a 30-second to 60-second on both of these things, if you don't mind. Give us your video game review of NCAA 25, because I know you're playing that shit, and I know you're loving it, and I know you also follow college football very closely. So do you have any future plays you want to give out in the world of college football?
I will do both of those things. It is the most fun video game I've ever played. I was a big Madden player growing up. This is better than any Madden in terms of the customization. The gameplay is really good. But what's funny is I don't think anybody cares. Like, people just want to play the game. They don't care that the game is actually really well done. They're just like, I can make my custom conference. I can create my player and you know, start out as a one-star prospect and work my way up. I can you know, rebuild Sam Houston State. That's all we want. But like everything, and I played the old NCAA game a lot, as did everyone else. And this is way better. The customization is my favorite part. I think the online gameplay is really good. It is so fun to play. I'm off work today, so I'll probably hop on after we get off this. And then CFB Futures. I actually have a few things down. I have them written right here. If we're getting, I'll do one sicko bet and one gross bet. So this is what I do. I mean, I do sicko bets and gross bets. So just stay with me if you follow me on Twitter and follow the bets I make every week. East Carolina over 6.5. I have it at plus 118. They won two games last year. Their schedule goes from the hardest in the American to the easiest in the American. They bring in Jake Garcia, who was a former five-star prospect. They're going to run the air raid offense. So I think the offense will improve to maybe upper half in the conference. The schedule is a joke. They should be favored in every single game after early October. So I like them over 6.5 to comfortably make a bowl game. And no one's going to like this one. I don't really care. Florida over 4.5. It is the hardest schedule I've ever seen. They're going to be an underdog a lot, and they're going to lose a lot because they play a lot of tough games. But they also play a few easy games. I don't have their schedule next to me, but I still have them favored comfortably in four games. So
one upset is all it takes.
One upset is all it takes, as long as they you know, take care of business against Mississippi State. I think they play at home. A couple of cupcakes, but I think they're going to beat Miami week one. That's one of those toss-up games. So going through the schedule, I find it hard to believe that they're not going to win at least five games and probably make a bowl game, I think, which will be a success. I like Florida over 4.5. It's a little juicy, but I don't mind laying juice on these win totals because I think that there are enough, you know, metrics out there where you can put every team like number to one specific number and be like, okay, this is my 2% edge. Like some sites I'm seeing Florida 70%, 75% chance to win at least five games. Got minus 145. That's around 65-ish implied probability. So more than a 2% edge. So I'm fine laying the juice there.
I love it, Jake. We'll be chumming up in the NFL season. It's got to be a lot of fun. I feel smarter already just having you on the show. That's what we want when we're on a podcast, right? We want someone to bring different angles and viewpoints and originality, and you're the fucking man, Jay. So tell people, where can they follow you on the X? Where can they follow you on Twitter?
That was so funny when you mentioned that when you mentioned that early in the show. I also call it Twitter.
It's hard.
It's very hard. On the Twitter at Jake Circus, SIRKUS. I'm sure it'll be in the description. Tweet at me. My DMs are open. I'm always down to chat. The podcast, it's in a hibernation right now, but we're bringing it back in August. The Jake Circus podcast on Spotify and YouTube. Every Friday we do a gambling show, which I hope you will be on some of the episodes this year.
We'd love to. Absolutely.
Gambling shows on Friday. Try to have at least one guest every week on those. And then Monday's NFL. Wednesday is college football. We preview games. We do underdog bets, futures. Like every week we talk about futures. Make sure to tune into that when we get back started. Jake Circus podcast on Spotify and YouTube. And thanks for having me on, my man. This was a blast. I look forward to having you on mine to do the special project that we have coming up in the NFL season. There's a lot going on right now. I feel like I've been, you know, locked to my computer the last 3 weeks trying to find a balance between college football prep and NFL prep. But we're
right here. It's a lot of prep. I'm only taking on one for that reason. That's all my life allows. But thanks so much, Jake. I appreciate you being on the show. At Jake Circus, everybody. That's SIRKUS. And check him out, the Jake Circus podcast as well, coming this August. He'll be back on Laying the Points very soon as well. Jake, awesome stuff. See you soon, buddy.
Thank you, man.